think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And missed the first hour, little Texans, mixed in a little NFL, a little college football. Still haven't gotten into everything on college football that we want to get to, because I do want to get into the Tua thing a little bit more.
Fred and I just argued during the breaks, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. he thinks more highly of the Pac-12 than I do. And I also do believe that. Well, even without Tua, I don't think Alabama's dead yet.
Okay.
I would not rule out the – now, I think what's going to have to happen is Oklahoma's going to have to lose, and I think – well, Georgia would have to lose to LSU. Because if Georgia beats LSU and that's the only loss for LSU, both those teams are in. I don't think there's any doubt.
I think so, too.
And they'll
make sure that Georgia's 3 and LSU's 4 because right. They don't want to have a rematch in the first round of the playoffs.
Right, and then you'd get Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia. But if Georgia loses, 2-loss Georgia's not getting in.
No,
if they lose to LSU.
Zero chance.
So then you're down to the and again, it's pretty much the same thing I wrote last week. You're down to the two Pac-12 teams.
Oklahoma or Alabama.
Yeah. It's pretty much what it's going to amount to. And we did see the phonies disappear this week with Minnesota and Baylor.
Yep.
And I was listening on
Almost all the phonies. Unfortunately, Oklahoma played Baylor,
right.
So they couldn't disappear.
Well, I don't think Oklahoma's getting through the rest of the season without another loss.
I can't imagine.
Not the way they've played the last 3 weeks. But the I was listening to the end of that Minnesota game, and the announcers were like, "It's a huge upset. Iowa has beaten unbeaten Minnesota." It's like, Iowa was a 3-point favorite. How is that a huge upset? Just out of curiosity. Yeah.
Yeah. Shame.
Man, have you seen Raheel with this mustache?
Yes.
It's like Pakistani Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
I mean, there's worse, but I keep hearing Bohemian Rhapsody in my head every time I see him. All right, you want to go through the rest of the NFL since we haven't had a chance to do that yet?
Okay.
All right, let's do that. And I think there were – well, we'll start off with the – Cowboys, Lions. Dak Prescott had a huge game.
Yeah, I will say the Cowboys are starting to make a believer out of me. And even on days where they don't get the best out of Zeke Elliott.
They haven't the last couple weeks.
They haven't.
He hasn't been very good.
That makes me nervous. But when they haven't, they've had huge games in the passing game. And yeah, I'm starting to come around. And I mean, obviously, you can't take a lot from beating the Lions, especially without Matt Stafford. And there was a while where they were trailing in that game.
Yeah.
But, I like what the Cowboys did. I kind of like the Cowboys going forward now, especially as I saw the Eagles yesterday just unable to do anything. It made me feel better about the Cowboys.
Yeah, we'll get to the Eagles in a minute. But how often do you see a team get to kick off from the 35-yard line on the other side of the field?
It's odd.
Colts hammered the Jaguars 33-13.
Did that surprise you?
It did a little bit because the Colts haven't done anything but play close games, and I thought the Jags would be better than that, but I guess this 0-8 from London thing is a thing. But Foles had to pass too much. They couldn't run the football, and the Colts ran the ball really well. Now, it doesn't look like they're going to have Marlon Mack Thursday night, but Jonathan Williams looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I was surprised that the Jags just got their doors blown off because I expected better of them with Foles coming back. And like you said, the Colts aren't a team that's really running away from people, but they just don't get
blown out and they don't blow people out. So
until that,
yeah, just like,
I'm sure I bet the Colts ruined a bunch of people's teasers.
I'm sure they did. Just like the Texans ruined a bunch of people's teasers. Bills 37, Dolphins 20. Don't want to say I told you so, but told you so.
Yeah, that was.
I love that. I love that line. The minute I saw it, that was the classic buy low, sell high line. And never
the Dolphins are still the Dolphins. People forget.
Yeah,
you know
they beat Brian Hoyer.
And by the way, that game closer than or the final score is closer than what the game was.
Yeah,
I mean the Bills spanked that ass. It took
Dolphins
like 101 yard
kickoff return. Which you know, having minus six, and I didn't want to see that. No, those were things you don't want to see, but it worked out.
Is it easy to win when you run 13 times for 23 yards? And your longest rush of the day is 7 yards.
It's only if you throw for 500.
That's tough. It's tough to win like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bills just had their way running the football. And Josh Allen, hey, don't look now. That dude's starting to figure it out. I mean, I don't think he's there yet. And they still haven't opened up the playbook to him totally.
But when you watch him, don't you see the potential for him to get better?
Oh, I mean, he's got a ton of quote-unquote arm talent. I mean, there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, he could throw the ball through a human being if he wanted to.
And the last time he threw an interception was October 6th. He's the last 5 games, 0 interceptions.
And he's not fumbling as much as he was early,
nope.
too. So if he can take care of the football, they don't need him to do a whole lot. But as the season goes on, if he does more, I mean, I look at him.
He's a poor man's Lamar Jackson is what he is right now.
Well, I look at him, though, and I see the up arrow, and he keeps moving a little bit more up. And, like, last year, I think he kind of saw that with Trubisky, but then he fell off the map.
Yeah. So, and I assumed that Josh Allen would be a long-term project, and he's panning out to be a long-term project. He's still not where they need him to be to really be great. But, like you said, the arrow is pointing up for that dude. And this was his best game of the year.
And John Brown was a hell of a pickup for them. Vikings-Broncos, this one was a tale of two games. Broncos get out to the big lead at halftime. They're up 20-0. And then the second half happened.
What I heard was that the Broncos were told before the game that this was not going to be a four-quarter game. That they just had, as long as they were winning at halftime, that they were good. And the Broncos said, okay, well, we're going to give it our all. We're going to play our best 30 minutes, and we'll see where the chips may fall. And then they came in. When the Broncos went into the locker room to celebrate their 20-0 victory, they said, oh, we tricked you. You have to play a second half. And they had already, like, taken their shoes off. They were relaxing, and some of them were already in the shower. And they called them out, and sure enough, the Vikings came back and got them. That's what happened.
I'll give Denver credit. They held Dalvin Cook to 26 yards, and he's been terrific all year. And they sacked Kirk Cousins 5 times, but that second half, he winds up 29-35 for 319.
So let me ask you about Kirk Cousins now, because the long-standing rule was Kirk Cousins is a guy who puts up big numbers. They're meaningless. He doesn't win games. I mean, this team looks like they're pretty good now. They're 7-3. 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, where are we ranking Kirk Cousins amongst quarterbacks these days?
I'm not going to rank him anywhere after win over the Broncos at home.
Okay.
In a game that they, you know, I mean, he had to come out and play well in the second half, but he's got a lot of talent around him. As much as we were talking about Christian McCaffrey as MVP candidate, I think Dalvin Cook deserves to be in that yesterday, notwithstanding. He's a guy that you need to be having that conversation about. He's got really good receivers. They've got a decent defense. I think he's got a lot around him, and that may be enough. I don't think he's a guy I want to win the game for me, but I think he's got people on that team who can.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's fair. They're 3 losses this year. They're all on the road. At Kansas City by 3, at the Bears by 10, at the Packers by 5. I mean, they've been competitive in pretty much every game.
I'm
starting to buy the Vikings.
Well, I've liked the Vikings from the beginning. I still don't know that I trust Cousins in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's where, and we'll find out about that when they get there. Because they're going to get there.
Over 70% completion rate this season.
Yeah, and I mean, again, his numbers were really strong yesterday. But, all right, Saints go into Tampa 34-17. They bounce back nicely from the ass-whipping they took from the Falcons the week before.
Jameis Winston sucks so bad.
Oh, come on.
I won't hear it anymore.
No, you know what?
Jameis is the man. Jameis is a walking interception, is what Jameis is.
Wait a minute. You were going to tell the Broncos they only had to play a half. If you just look.
How many did he throw in the first half?
If you just look at the first four stat lines and stop there. Jameis Winston's a badass. 30 of 51, 313 yards, and two touchdowns.
Oh, okay.
You have to stop right there. You cut it off right there.
Don't discuss anything further.
Don't go to the next one, which is four interceptions. God, he's just such a turnover machine.
You can't win games with that guy.
And he also fumbled the ball. He just didn't lose it. Yeah. He's one of those guys that, you can't trust him with the football. And at this point, I'm not extending that guy.
19 touchdowns. 18 interceptions.
How many fumbles, too? So he's going to be upside down on that because he's fumbled the ball a bunch of times, too.
And he's got zero rushing touchdowns. So more turnovers than touchdowns, certainly. But Jimmy Garoppolo's in that category, too.
Yimmy. Jets 34, Redskins 17. I think that was Fezzik's pick. I love that one.
I liked it, too.
That was going to be my my choice before he took it. But I'm very happy I landed on the Bills. But yeah, the Jets have some talent. The Redskins don't. 1-9.
Yeah, they're really bad. And the Haskins show, it's a long-term project. And they said it when they drafted him. They didn't want him to play this year. Here we are. I don't think he's gonna do much progressing this season. I think they need a full offseason to get that guy better.
Falcons 29, Panthers 3. The Falcons seem to have figured it out from the bye week. And I mean, it's too late for him.
Yeah.
But that's two really good, impressive performances in a row.
It's not too late to play spoiler.
No, and Matt Ryan played really well. Kyle Allen, another one, if you ignore the interception category, had some numbers.
Yeah, Kyle Allen, the cute little story that was Kyle Allen.
Yeah. He's going.
This chapter, not so good.
He's going the way of Gardner Minshew pretty fast. All right. Why don't we take a break and we'll come back to the others and get to the afternoon game.
But I think more importantly for the Falcons in winning that game, the important thing was defensively they were great again.
Well, yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row, and the head coach stopped calling the defense.
Yeah,
and suddenly
it's a game changer.
It's amazing how a little change like that can make a huge difference, and it certainly has. And it changes my view of the Falcons moving forward for the rest of the season in terms of betting. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A lot of people with college questions. We'll get back to that as soon as we finish going through the rest of the NFL. 49ers Cardinals, we talked about a little bit in the first half, or first hour. Garoppolo, again, a lot of yards, but not protecting the football. And if you were on the Cardinals side of that, you were on the right side of the bet. You got hosed. What are you going to say? But they kind of held Kyler Murray in check. I mean, he's still hit and miss to me. But the Cardinals, at least against the spread, have been money this year.
Yeah.
I think they're better than people thought they were going to be. They're much better than Dolphins.
Oh, I thought they were one of the five worst teams in the league coming in.
And they probably are still, but they're at the top of that list of five.
I thought the Niners played really well defensively. You say they held them in check, but Kyler Murray didn't really make any mistakes. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. And the Niners really, they did a pretty decent job holding the run, which is that's the way to beat the Niners.
Yeah.
But defensively is where Arizona surprised me, that like the Niners just couldn't run the football early on. That's how they got behind. And then they were chasing, and Jimmy Garoppolo puts up a bunch of empty yards, but he also turned the ball over a few times, and it's going to catch up to that team eventually. They can't be that loose with the ball.
All right. This one was kind of a turd. Raiders beat the Bengals 17-10.
Boy, what happened to the Raiders offense that we've been seeing?
That
was the one NFL bet I lost yesterday. It was the over in that game, and it was never even close. Yeah. I mean, the Bengals couldn't score on the Raiders' crappy defense.
And the Raiders
couldn't score on the Bengals' crappy defense.
Basically, both teams took the second half off, is what it amounted to. Patriots beat the Eagles 17-10. Eagles their receivers just can't hold on to the football or get open for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, their receivers are basically Zach Ertz and a bunch of guys who don't really belong being, at least starters in the NFL. It's really a bad situation for them. But And then add that to the fact that they can't run the football. But the Patriots aren't very good offensively either. That was another. That was an easy under for me. That was one of my bets this week, was the under in the Pats game, which that'll be a, you know.
That's a pretty good play almost every week right now.
It pretty much is, because the Pats offense
and Vegas
is
still
not
thinks
very good.
So, yeah, Vegas still thinks of them as the Pats of old.
Yeah, and the Pats defense is elite, but their offense is very meh at best. And the only touchdown pass that got thrown yesterday for the Patriots was Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
So, It was a ho-hum performance for the Patriots, but getting a win on the road against the Eagles, the hell they covered. Yeah, I mean, they you got to feel pretty good about it.
And the Rams beat the Bears 17-7, another ugly one. Mitch Trubisky.
He's so bad.
Yeah, I think at some point you're just going to have to admit maybe this isn't going to work out with this guy.
Yeah, it's looking pretty rough. I don't think they'll punt on him yet, but They've definitely got to be nervous.
All right, that's all your games. And you said Chiefs and Chargers tonight. And man, I had a great betting weekend, but like every team that I have any rooting interest in got its ass kicked all weekend. UH basketball loses on a buzzer beater Friday night. UH football, I knew they were going to lose. And yesterday, Saskatchewan was in the West Finals with a chance to go to the Grey Cup and lose 20-13. Get inside the 10. They have 6 plays inside the 10 in the last minute and can't score. Needless to say, the wife hasn't spoken to me since.
Ouch.
Because I was very critical of the quarterback. Getting back to some college stuff. And, again, I mean, you guys keep trying to sell me on OU, and it's just I'm sorry, I can't buy into it. But no credit for OU for a second-half defensive shutout and 34 points with no C.D. Lamb. Despite what y'all think, Baylor is good.
No, they're not.
Good defense and solid QB. Baylor was undefeated, and this game was in Waco. That's a great win for OU.
What's Baylor's best win? And then tell me how good they are. What's their best, their signature win?
Listen, I'll give them credit for getting wins, but overtime against Tech, they should have lost. Overtime against TCU, they could have very easily lost. And those are not elite teams, by the way. Those are two teams that were playing for bowl eligibility this week.
West Virginia.
Yeah. Rice, they beat Rice by 7. Rice, which finally won a game this week. So, you know, you can look at the zero that was there and act like, oh, this is a really good team. No, they were a product of their schedule.
Their best win is Oklahoma State. That's their best
win. And that's a good win. That's a good win. And they went in and beat them at Stillwater.
But if that's your best win, that doesn't say a whole lot.
No. And you know what? And they're going to lose another game. I guarantee you Baylor's losing another football game before this season.
They're going to lose to Texas?
I think they will.
It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, although Texas has gotten this nice habit of playing close against decent teams and losing.
By the way, that makes Oklahoma's case even weaker if Baylor loses another game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good look for Oklahoma. Well,
I'm not at all convinced that I'm not at all convinced Oklahoma's not going to lose another game. I mean, like I said, Oklahoma State's still on their schedule.
Yep. Yeah, unlike the Pac-12, I mean, those guys, they don't have a game on their schedule they can lose, Oregon or Utah. They're going to both go into the championship with one loss. And one of them is going to be a one-loss Pac-12 champion. I tend to lean Utah at this point, but I don't know for sure. Oklahoma, Alabama, the other two teams that have a legit shot, they could easily lose another game.
Who's Alabama going to lose to?
Oh, Auburn. I mean, that's without Tua, I think it's a very losable game.
Yeah, I still think they've got enough to win that game without him. Somebody on Twitch says they don't pay attention to the Twitch chat, wasting your time. No, I actually do pay attention to the Twitch chat.
I don't.
There you go. So, yeah, you don't pay attention to any of this stuff. Now, eventually, that's all going to go away. But and he's like, I'm not saying Baylor's a great team. I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but they're a 9-0 team with the best defense in their conference isn't good. Come on. Now, you come on.
Come on. Baylor played the weakest non-conference schedule in the country. Not the weakest for a Power 5, not the weakest in the Big 12, the weakest non-conference schedule of everyone. You don't know if they're good because they haven't played anybody good. The best team they played, they just let come back and beat them in a game that they shouldn't have. I mean, I don't think either one of those teams, if there was a way that they both could have lost, it would have been ideal.
Yeah.
So people could stop pretending that either one of those teams is any good.
I think it's going to play itself out because I think they'll both lose again.
I think the worst thing that could happen to the Big 12 is they get one of those teams in and they play against Ohio State, because then the Big 12 will get exposed as a bunch of phonies. Because that Oklahoma team, you put them on a field with a team that can actually play some defense, they're in trouble.
Well,
because you're going to score
on Oklahoma. The way you feel about the Big 12 is how I feel about the Pac-12. So I think...
Dude, I cannot imagine you've watched Utah and think that somehow they're not better than Oklahoma.
Defensively, yeah. But, I mean, I don't think they're that good. They lost at USC. I think a good offense. They played in LSU or in Ohio State, they'd get killed.
I don't think so. I don't think that defense gets them killed.
That's good defense against mediocre teams in a league with a lot of bad offenses.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, these guys are not playing defense against a lot of pretty good offenses. So, somebody says win versus Oklahoma State is better than win versus Aggie. I don't know that it is.
What's the win versus Aggie have to do with anything?
They're trying to make cases against Oklahoma. Against Alabama, excuse me.
Oh, I mean, at the end of the day, Oklahoma, they've got a chance to beat Baylor again. I think Oklahoma will get a one-loss Oklahoma, I think, would get in over a one-loss Alabama because they'd have the championship. They'd have the Big 12 championship.
Well, and again, they're one of the committee's pets. And I think it comes down to the fact that, and somebody asked if Ohio State lost in the championship, would they still get in?
Probably.
It depends. The only way that they wouldn't would be if it were a one-loss Minnesota that beat them. And then they might give it to Minnesota, but I don't think so. I don't see that happening anyway.
I don't either.
Seen enough of Minnesota to know that they're not going to be able to handle Ohio State.
Nobody in the Big Ten is beating Ohio State. I think if Michigan plays their best game, they can give them a match.
Well, and that being a rivalry game, I think goofy stuff can happen.
And Michigan's played better lately, but...
Shea Patterson had himself a game.
I'm not buying into it, though. I'm not suddenly thinking, yeah, Michigan can beat Ohio. I don't think they can. I think Ohio State's way better than them. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's just, well, I know with Texas OU, when one team's clearly better, sometimes the other one wins. Because
how many teams, so of the 6-7 teams that are in the mix now, how many do you feel like Well, we'll do this on the other side. Let's talk about like what order you think they go in of.
We got
Lance coming in? Well, we'll do it later. Yeah. I tried to radio tease. It didn't work.
Yeah.
We got plenty to talk to Lance about, though.
Yeah. You got to work on that radio tease thing.
Yeah, I'm not a pro.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And it's 5:30 on Monday, which means it's time for Lance Zierlein. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys?
I was listening to you this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you say that to be weird and creepy?
No, anything catch your ear?
No, it was pretty boring.
Yeah.
No. Just kidding.
We talked about Texans.
I was listening on the way in. Yeah, you talked a lot about the Texans. And
why would you do that?
We were looking to bore people.
Yeah. Dude.
We could talk about stealing signs and sending out emails.
Yeah, that's not really a thing. Give me a positive for the Texans out of that game. Was there anything that you can look at and go, okay, well, that looked good?
No, I mean, in all honesty, there's nothing good.
Yeah. I mean, it was that's just a...
Special teams bad because of a missed field goal. Pass rush bad. Coverage in red zone bad. O-line took a step back. Deshaun Watson bad. It's nothing. I don't have anything for you.
I felt like the offensive game plan going in put them behind the eight ball because the strength of the Ravens is their secondary. And I thought all along, well, they're going to attack the linebackers with tight ends and backs out of the backfield because the linebackers are the weak spot. They never did. It just seemed like a weird – everything about that seemed like just a weird preparation, and they weren't ready. And at no point did I feel like they were even going to be in the football game, even when it was tied after one.
Yeah, I didn't. Once it hit 14, it felt like, ooh, I'm not sure how this is going to happen. Because you know what I've noticed over the years, and of course this is, you know, when you pay attention to halftime line, you know, first game lines versus second half lines. If a team looks, if one team in one side looks especially overmatched against another, or if they really can't get it going, it's not, I know there's an idea that they just will magically get it going in the second half, but that first half usually happens for a reason. And that's what we saw in the second half. And I think from the very outset, Deshaun Watson was trying to just make too many plays. I mean, he just wanted to do special things in that matchup instead of, you know, there were a couple throws. I recorded them. I didn't end up posting them, but there were a couple throws where he could have just got rid of the ball nice and easy out to the flat to a peeled off tight end one time to a running back, taking a 4-yard gain and moved on to the next play. And they ended up turning into sacks. And we haven't seen that from Deshaun since that Carolina game. It's been a while. And I really didn't think we would see it happen again, but it showed itself again yesterday. And the flip side of that is Lamar Jackson, ironically, I thought he stayed on time. And he stayed within himself. He stayed within the offense. Of course, when it's time for him to go make a play with his legs, he can do that. But that was just a complete and total, you know, I saw Bill O'Brien's comments in the press conference. He gave the old, we're on to the Indianapolis Colts.
No, he didn't even want to talk about this game.
We're all, in the opening statement.
I was looking through the transcripts. Everybody said the same thing. Every player, all of them.
Oh, yeah. It was handed down.
Yeah, that was handed down. And that was his Bill Belichick statement, so he wouldn't have to talk about the Colts game. Because, frankly, there is nothing positive that can be said about it. And I'm sure he was ticked off after the game. But, I mean, there was nothing positive to glean from that matchup. Nothing. And we talked about the three game stretch. And are they more likely to go 3-0 or 0-3 if you had to pick one? And a lot of people felt like it was 3-0. But, you know, now you see that now you got the Patriots on the bookend and you got the Colts who started to get themselves right last week. And then I guess T.Y. Hilton will be back this next week. I feel like they rested him to make sure he was back for the Texans on that short week. I mean, they better hope they go at least 1-2 in those, because if they lose this one to the Colts, they're done for the – I don't see them winning the division.
It's going to be hard to make the playoffs.
It'll be hard to make the playoffs, yeah. Because then you're looking at a really tough matchup against the Patriots, who are going to be vying, you know, and fighting for a playoff positioning. And you lose three in a row, and all of a sudden, you know, here come the Browns, who are expected to start winning against this lineup. And you got the AFC West that's tougher than expected, and I don't know. We'll see. And then the Bills are starting to get back on track again.
You guys were talking about the UT loss in your household this morning. That's what I was listening to. And your son called in.
Yeah, so. My son called in. I said, how was it, Alec, in the house? He goes, not good. Sure wasn't good. Although the wife is just – she's just accepted her fate now.
I mean, it seems like by now you should know this team. Yeah,
she knows.
Not very good.
No, she knows. She doesn't. The yelling and screaming is really over. It's my youngest son who's doing the yelling and screaming now. She's passed it down. She doesn't do the yelling and screaming anymore. She knows. She'll do a couple. There's a couple of embarrassing outbursts from time to time, but for the most part, she just understands that this just isn't going to happen this year.
So one of the other things that happens over the weekend, maybe the biggest thing that happens, at least for you, is Tua gets hurt. And yeah. I mean, from what I understood, it was like, first I was hearing it's the same injury that ended Bo Jackson's career.
That was out there first.
And then it turns out, oh, he's going to make a full recovery. This was like best case scenario. I mean, obviously it sucked for him, but it broke in the best possible way it could have broken. So
I think that wasn't known at the time. People were all speculating.
Okay.
People were speculating initially based on Bo's injury and the fact that he couldn't get blood to that, you know, body part in time, to the hip in time for recovery and blah, blah, blah. And this is what happens when you get the speculation through Twitter from people who have no idea what the x-rays look like or what the medicals look like at all.
To me, this is awful news for the NFL. Because now, my guess is the team that ends up with Tua is one of these teams that are drafting late and are already really good, and they can afford to sit on him until he's right, like the Patriots or the Saints, and now they're going to get a top five talent at pick 30 or pick 31 or something like that, and it's going to be basically passing the torch from Andrew or Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, except without having to suck for a whole year.
Yeah, it could be, but you know, I think it really depends on what the medicals look like, and you're not going to know in Indianapolis at the combine because it'll probably be too early. Like, you have an idea, but I can't imagine from mid-November to what, December, January, February, you're talking 3.5 months. Maybe that will tell you what you need to know, but let's say you don't know for sure. Then you're going to have to come back and get another medical recheck in April to find out where he is at that time, probably at the combine. It's where they usually do the medical rechecks. And then you got to make a determination. Is he a redshirt player this year for us, or is he not a redshirt player? You know, the other thing is Tua could look at, could delay and look at who the low-end teams are. And if, you know, if he's a little concerned about, if he thinks, well, I'll make a full recovery and I'll be a top five pick, but I don't like these top five teams. I mean, there's always
He could play again next year, right?
He could play up again with a red. He could just come back and play.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a senior. He could come back and play. I don't think that will happen, because if you're going to redshirt, you'd rather redshirt with an NFL contract that is
obviously
paid, and it pays a lot more than anything.
Well, unless you're like Matt Leinart, and I mean, there's some guys who that's what they
love to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is a guy who has two high ankle sprains, surgeries for both high ankle sprains, now broken hip. I mean, hey, the durability question is going to come up for Tua, and I think we're going to, if you're realistic about this, it's going to be awfully hard for him to stay in school again with these injuries that we're looking at. It's going to be really, really difficult.
Why was he out there in a 35-0 game when he's a few weeks removed from ankle surgery?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I mean, He clearly wasn't himself whenever he wasn't himself when he played against the LSU Tigers. We saw that he didn't move well. There just wasn't he couldn't transfer his weight. He was just doing a lot of upper body throwing, and when you saw him out there the other day, he looked fine. He was making some plays, but you ask yourself why even take the chance in that game? You're going to beat Ole Miss. I think maybe there's a thought from Nick Saban, if he holds him out, it looks like he should have held him out against LSU, that he did the wrong thing. And when he plays him, you know, of course, there was that, I guess Nick Saban has basically said, and I don't know if this is a CYA move or not, but he says, well, we were going to, you know, we were looking at taking Tua out, but he wanted to play, so we decided he was going to go through and practice the 2-minute drill, and then he was going to be done. I don't think anything with the high ankle sprain had anything to do with the hip injury. That's a separate situation. And I understand wanting to get through the first half and then move on to the next half. But obviously, Nick Saban has opened himself up for criticism because he wasn't 100%.
I don't think one has anything to do with the other, except for the fact that he wasn't as mobile and he wasn't able to get away from those guys. And two in the past, a healthy two runs away from those guys.
Yeah, there's not the burst. There's not the second gear right now.
Well, we saw it last week against LSU. There was one play where he could have easily just walked into the end zone, and he chose to throw the ball instead because he can't run.
Saw another one where he could have got a first down and slid prematurely instead of getting a first down, and that turned into a fourth and short that they didn't convert and lost a lot of momentum there. That was another one that happened. There was one where he was running into the end zone and, you know, dropped the ball. Well, I don't know if he's running in the end zone, but he dropped the ball in the red zone. So, yeah, he's I don't know, though, AJ, if he's going to fall all the way to the back end of the first or not. If he does, and his medicals are okay, somebody's going to get a discount on a good quarterback.
I feel like that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, if that happens. I mean, but can you really see it when teams are taking – they take lesser quarterbacks? I mean, you got Arizona trading up for Josh Rosen, and Tua would sit there and make it through the middle rounds. That just seems so inconceivable.
Maybe, but there's still some teams that I could see in the middle of the first round, even like the Chargers are a team, for example.
Panthers.
You want to get some excitement built up for your team before you make a big move. I mean,
now the flip side of this is teams don't love paying a guy not to play. They don't.
No.
And if you draft them in the first round, and there's a thought that you got to redshirt them, there are some teams who say, "Man, we are going to pay him 5 years of salary for 4 years," or they'll say, "We're going to pay him 4 years of salary and then have to give him another big contract if he gets it
done.
You're
right. Here's what I could see the Patriots doing, though. If he gets down to the end of the round, I could see one of those teams saying, we'll trade down to like the second round, early second round, and make a deal with somebody. And there's going to be teams that are willing to do that, you know. But I also think that they look at Aaron Rodgers as a pretty prime example of sometimes it pays off. You know, if that guy is the right guy,
oh yeah,
you should be willing to wait on him. And if Tua was really what everybody thought he was, you know, 2 weeks ago, the number one quarterback in the draft, or at least in that conversation, and now you can get him with a late first rounder or early second rounder.
In your scenario.
In my scenario, yeah.
And if that's the case, that's why I just don't see him getting there. Unless the only thing that could change that is if there's contradictory opinions on his medicals.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden that creates concern, and teams will start saying, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And they won't know that until they get down the road.
I kind of feel like between 15 and 20 would be his range in that situation. And you mentioned the Chargers, but like the Panthers, for instance, might be a team that's looking for a guy that can, because they've got a guy now that they kind of like, mm-hmm. but obviously he'd be an upgrade. You could sit him for half a season, let him learn. So
yeah, you could have a team like Cincinnati Bengals take Chase Young and then trade up for Tua in the first round too, you know. Or there are a couple of teams who have a tremendous amount of draft capital. Well, Cleveland's one who's obviously not going to take it. Oh, the Miami Dolphins. You know, the Miami can maneuver around any old way that they want. So they could end up being a team that goes Chase Young as the top, you know, the top player. Let's say it went Joe Burrow 1 to Cincinnati. Let's say, you know, I don't know, I have to see where everything shakes out right now in terms of the worst teams. But let's say
probably Washington next.
Yeah, Washington would be next. They're not going to get a quarterback, so they'd get a Chase Young. But you know, I don't know that I'd completely rule out Miami from being active, trying to get their hands on Tua and a high-end player in the first round, start to maneuver some of that draft capital to win as quickly as possible.
Well, at this point, obviously Joe Burrow is ahead of Tua in the rankings.
Does
Justin Herbert now considered better than him?
Yeah, so
Jacob Eason, how far down their list does Tua get?
Well,
or does it depend?
I see it all depends on medicals. I just don't know until the medicals. I don't see him if the medicals check out. I just can't see any way he slips behind any further than behind Herbert and Burrow, Herbert and Tua as the top three. Now I've got to really look and study the class, so I won't really know officially for a little bit. But I have heard a lot of good things about Herbert and how he's played recently. I know what I see in Joe Burrow, and so I will study him closer, and I already know arm is not a real strong arm, but everything else checks out. So how do you balance those things? And then with Tua, it's just a waiting game. You know, it's a waiting game. I'm going to write him up just like he's a healthy player. I have to, because if he is a healthy player, then he's going to be what he's been, which is occasionally questionable with decision making, sometimes doesn't see the field great, can get baited into bad throws, very twitchy, quick release, can put some real zip on the ball, has a lively arm, very sudden to escape the pocket, can throw on all three levels. I mean, there's a lot of good things about Tua. I think physically Tua is better than Burrow, but Burrow has some special traits and qualities that are hard to quantify when it comes to leadership at the position.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him in the mornings on the bench and always has great stuff. A must listen, in my opinion.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. All right, let's do our Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, you were a Breaking Bad fan.
I was.
I was a Breaking Bad fan. I don't think Aaron was because he doesn't watch TV. Nope, nothing. Okay. Did you ever like the show so much you thought, hey, maybe I should cook meth?
No.
Me either.
No, that's where I drew the line.
Well, Bradley Allen Roland, 40 years old, and Terry David Bateman, 45, did not draw the line.
Did you say Bradley Roby?
Bradley Allen Roland.
Roland.
Yeah.
Not Ro.
Okay. No, I don't
know. Roland. Roland Roby. There. My bad.
Okay.
I feel like that name Bradley Roby is familiar, but I don't know where I heard it.
Soft tissue thing. They were both arrested on Friday afternoon for allegedly manufacturing meth. And they were so bold about it. Guess what? They're chemistry professors at Henderson State University in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. So not only were they inspired by the show because Walter White cooked meth, they were chemistry professors.
Hmm. Don't do meth.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.
Should make a show about this.
An investigation began after a weird odor was detected at the school's science building. On October 8th, the Science Center was closed for 3 weeks due to an undetermined chemical odor. And when they opened it on the 29th, it passed an EPA inspection. An investigation was launched, and tests found benzyl chloride, a chemical used to do meth. Both professors were placed on administrative leave and taken into custody on November 15th.
Yeesh.
The police and an Arkansas Narcotics Task Force were involved. So they didn't get away with it like Walter did for as long as he did. So apparently, the story says, if only there had been some kind of a warning sign. Oh, wait. In the school newspaper, Roland expressed how much he loved Breaking Bad.
Oh.
And was proclaimed to be Henderson's Heisenberg by the paper.
Oh, no.
I thought it was a great show, he said. It was spot on and accurate when it came to the science, and it has gotten a younger, newer generation interested in chemistry.
And interested in meth.
I feel like it was a wonderful recruiting tool.
Mm.
Well, speaking of tools, you're going to be getting a few in your body while you're in prison. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
850 says Breaking Bad made me want to never touch drugs. I never had any interest in meth, but I guarantee you after watching that show, I had even less interest. So, yeah, that's a... I think this guy just went, I don't know, maybe you're sitting around, you're thinking, professor life's kind of boring. It's Arkansas. You know, don't have a lot of, got Coleman milk. That's about it.
Yeah.
Kind of tired of trolling for co-ed students. So let's go make some meth. Let's go be Walter White. And except not be as smart as Walter White and get caught.
Yeah.
Imagine going to school long enough to get your chemistry degree and to be a chemistry professor and then wind up in jail for meth.
That's not good.
Speaking of good, though, look who just walked in.
Yeah.
Always good news when...
I didn't even expect him. I didn't know if he was going to come this week or not.
Look at that. So Eric Warner will be joining us in the next hour.
Yes, things are going to look up in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've had so many depressing things to talk about today. So, we'll have to... I see you working some BBS.
I already got some advanced copies of that.
Hmm. People wanting.
We had a big business meeting while you were gone, Eric.
He was off in Germany enjoying himself.
I know it.
People asking for hockey plays. There's only 2 games tonight, and I don't have anything I like. So try again tomorrow. So. And 26 seconds ago, Nathan just sent me a potential gem of the day, but I have not read it yet. I will, but I'm going to stick with the meth guys from Arkansas. Wonder what the Baytown Badass would have said about
that. Hey, man. No, we won't get into that.
All right. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Buzz Williams show tonight at 7. Is that correct?
That's right.
Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock at 8.
That's right.
And Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad at 10.
That's it.
I thought they might change up a little since they're going to be in Vegas.
They are. They're doing Monday, Thursday, Friday this week.
Ah, okay. So we actually get in early enough to maybe get in some poker Wednesday night.
It's possible.
Although that early show Thursday, I'm thinking Wednesday night maybe go to the room and maybe watch a little TV and crash.
Yeah.
Of course, I say that now. It might feel much differently by the time we get there. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.